Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's like this show is like elite, skilled, Hall of Fame basketball players going at it. You know what I mean? It's only so much you can do defensively.
Ant one-on-one, beats a baseline, rises and hammers. What a finish!
We're winning the game right now!
The Lakers season remains alive.
We've given ourselves another life.
Oh, how did that go in? Bedlam here at the American Airlines Center.
Knicks are one win away. They will take a 3-1 lead back to Madison Square Garden.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
I don't know about y'all, but what a weekend. That was so much fun. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express. I'm Malika Andrews. And the Lakers, they have life. We're just under 7 hours away from tip-off in the Mile High City. LeBron James, Los Angeles, they have a chance to go into Denver and force a game six against the defending champions. But it wasn't just LeBron lighting up the Denver Nuggets. For the second time this month, we had a total eclipse of the sun. But this time it was courtesy of Anthony Edwards. So Phoenix fans, I don't know, maybe you want to just grab your eclipse glasses again, or maybe just avert your eyes as we head now to the Valley of the Sun. This is game four between the Phoenix Suns and Minnesota Timberwolves. Chinne Agumake here to help me break this down. Anthony Edwards just doing everything to will his team. Remember, no team led by more than 6 points entering the fourth quarter. Anthony Edwards pulls up from three, gets that one to go.
Yeah, the best thing that a player in the NBA can do, straight up take over. This was instant classic performances from Kevin Durant, from Devin Booker, but it was Ant Edwards that showed the world that he has got game on both ends of the floor.
That was just an all-time block, Brian Windhorst.
Great googly moogly. Look at this guy in this fourth quarter. It was absolutely awesome to watch.
Everyone at home, get great googly moogly into a sentence by the end of the day. Anthony Edwards once again elevates from three, nails it, gets it to go. The bench is fired up here. Kevin Durant going to work, but watch the switching here again, again, again.
You know what they say? Be connected, be on a string. That is the best defense in the NBA for a reason, because they're committed to winning no matter what it takes.
Well, but this was the possession that if Ant Edwards hadn't said, I've arrived, oh,
hello,
he did on that play. Kendrick Perkins, did this remind you of anything?
Yes, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, you are the father. Jesus Christ.
So this is Maury now, Perk.
Yes.
This is Maury.
This was a scary moment, though. 1:45 to play here. Mike Conley, full head of steam, just barrels in, collides accidentally, of course, with Chris Finch, the head coach. He goes down in pain here. Just take another look. Finch would actually rupture his right patellar tendon. He left the arena on crutches, as you can see there. And then Anthony Edwards putting the final touches on the win here and just holding up a 40 to the crowd, letting everybody know, sweep complete. Let's take a listen to Ant.
I was thinking 31 points in the second half. You're not getting off the ball very much then, right?
I mean, they wasn't, I will say, they stopped double teaming me. Like, it was more of like, you got to beat us. So, and I showed them, like, you need to double me.
So impressed with Ant. My favorite player to watch. Just grown so much since he came into the league at 22. Just his love for the game just shines bright. And that's something that's probably, that's one of the reasons why I like him the most, because he just loves basketball. He's grateful to be in this position. He's taking advantage of every opportunity he's gotten. Love everything about Ant. Everything.
Honestly, same. And I have to keep reminding myself, Shanae, he's 22.
22. Ooh, ooh.
This is where his 40 points stacks up against other players who are age 22 or younger in a series-clinching playoff win. It's the most since his first-round counterpart and personal GOAT, Kevin Durant, scored 41 to eliminate Denver 13 years ago. You have to love that symmetry here. Let's dive into this a little bit further. Chinne Agumake, Brian Windhorst, Kendrick Perkins beaming in. Perk, I want to start with you here. What did the Timberwolves prove to you with this win?
Well, that they're legit title contenders within this series, because a lot of people thought that the Phoenix Suns could possibly beat them in this series. But what they showed is that they could take it to another level, right? The role player showed that in this series, we could be consistent offensively. We know that they're the number one defense. And by the way, Adam Silver, you don't have to look no more. I know you've been searching for the next face of the NBA, where we have found him in Anthony Edwards. This guy is spectacular. And when you could carry as a young 22-year-old and go on the road in two games and average 38 and put it on your shoulders to close them out, there you go. That's all that needs to be said. And this young man right here, he's ready for action. He's ready for war. And the Denver Nuggets, if whenever they decide to close out the Los Angeles Lakers, they better strap their shoes up.
He is the future of American basketball. I think Ja Morant still has a chance to grab that crown. But as we've had this setbacks with Ja the last 2 years,
yep.
This is where Anthony Edwards has moved in. This was his first opportunity to have a closeout game, and it was on the road, and he was absolutely brilliant. And the thing about him that is so great is that he plays both ends, and he cares about both ends, and he truly loves his teammates. He is not a conventional leader, but he is a very effective leader. You watch how his team follows him. You watch how he supports his team. You know, he had that quote early in the series. They got Kevin Durant. We got Jaden McDaniels.
I love that.
That was funny, but he was being serious. This is how he views the game. We got to see it play out last night, and we're going to get to see it play out more and more in the coming years.
Yeah, it takes a certain level of vulnerability to be great. You've got to take the shots that other people don't want to take because you might be afraid, and you learn by those shots. And what we've seen is that he is willing to accept that challenge. Perk mentioned the 38 points per game in the postseason. Let's talk about the fourth quarter where he leads the NBA in postseason at 10.5 points on 67% shooting.
Yes, ma'am.
This is a franchise that a year or so ago was in the middle of an ultimate power struggle. Ant comes in, everyone knows his talent. Kat is there, he's already certified as a great shooter. Rudy comes in and he has, you know, that French bravado, but also that bravado amounts in one of the best defenders this game has ever seen.
Yeah.
And he emerges at the age of 22, not only upping his game, but showing he can lead. And it takes a level of humility and just like, listen to what we get from the press conferences. Mm-hmm. He's real. That's why I always say it's all about progress over perfection. He's not the perfect player, but he's committed to progressing himself as an individual, but also his team. And it's just been so much fun to watch.
Anthony Edwards is certainly the head of the snake. I agree with you. If he is not the face of the league right now, he is going to be in the coming years. But this was a team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, that hadn't won a playoff series in 20 years, had been the laughingstock of the league in a lot of ways, and was more known for overlooking and not picking Steph Curry than anything else. Fast forward to today, they have the brightest star in the NBA right now, maybe outside of Victor Wembanyama. And the sky is the limit. We are talking about them as true contenders. Just a couple of years after, we were all asking, oh, is the double big going to work? Karl Anthony Towns shot 53% on threes in this series.
Period.
53%.
And had one of his great performances of his career last night. It got overshadowed a little bit by Ant. But Towns, with Gobert in foul trouble, putting up that performance last night, 11 of 17 shooting, was huge for him.
And for Edwards to have a night like that yep. one he's probably dreamt of, and to turn and say, well, this guy is our best offensive player, Karl Anthony Towns, you're seeing leadership in real time.
I mean, for the first time since the Kevin Garnett days, we were talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves as true contenders. But what's still kind of so fascinating to me is that the Suns swept the Timberwolves in the regular season, but life, it comes at you
Wu-tow.
Fast.
Wu-tow.
Next thing you know, they get swept when it matters the most. And as you can see, that doesn't happen too often. Take a listen to Devin Booker and Kevin Durant after their early playoff exit here.
Hopefully everybody's feeling the same type of hurt. And, you know, it has to be fixed. I have to be better. Kevin has to be better. Brad has to be better. Coach has to be better. If we're the leaders of the team, we can't be out there unprepared.
Yeah, everything could be better.
What specifically, why was there?
I won't go into specifics because, that's stuff that we'll talk about. And like I said, I don't want to be up here making excuses for what happened. So we just deal with it and we'll figure it out as a family moving forward.
Okay, so I was looking through my notes. I sat down with Matt Ishbia right at the beginning of the season, the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He said the word win 13 13 times in 3 minutes. He said championship three times. That means the man didn't go more than 12 seconds without referencing one of those two words. So obviously this was not the team that was put together to get swept right in the first round. How disappointing is this, Kendrick, for the Suns?
It's one of the biggest, in my eyes, the biggest disappointment. You can't have a big three in Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant and not win one game in the series. Forget winning the series. They got swept. And here's the thing, right? We've been questioning all season long about the leadership, and I've been harping on that. But you know the funny thing about all of this is that I'm not the one to go looking for information. Sometimes information finds me. And what I noticed, what we saw last night with the behavior of Bradley Beal and Frank Vogel, we saw that, right? The dab off or the slapping of the hand. Mm. We saw the bad body language. But this has been going on all season long, led by Kevin Durant, okay? When you have a disconnect in the locker room where your two-time finals MVP and your two-time NBA champion is not talking to your head coach because he's mad about the play calling and mad about not being the number one option, this is what happens. Not everybody else in the organization or on the team feel like they could disrespect Frank Vogel or drown him out for us listening to his schemes or his strategies. And so when I think about that, you have to, if you're the head coach, you have to have the support from the front office, the people at top, to be able to go in there and demand the locker room. But Frank Vogel does not have that, and it's probably looking dangerous for him.
It's looking dangerous everywhere out there in the Valley of the Sun. It's looking a little scorched earth. It's looking a little burnt. But to me, when I look at this, there's no reason that Booker, Beal, and Durant should be minus 51 over the course of this entire series.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. So I can understand Kevin Durant's frustrations. I guess you can say a little bit like, I didn't play to my strengths, but you still had, what did he average, like 27 this year at the age of 35? You still had a tremendous season. Beal, I mean, unfortunately, it didn't seem like he acclimated well with the duo of Booker. We finally got a huge Booker performance, but it never came together at the right time. To me, this was the most expensive sweep that we've seen.
Right.
It's a sweep that will have implications on the way teams are constructed for the future based off of the way that the CBA is. And it's going to be interesting to see how these guys pivot. What can be salvageable after getting sunburnt?
Yep.
And what cannot be?
I'm glad you brought up expensive. Phoenix is married next season, our Bobby Marks notes, to the most expensive roster in NBA history. And there are not a whole lot of moves that they can make. Brian, where do they go from here?
They can functionally only trade three players, other than minimum salary players, which you're not going to be able to trade for much. That is Devin Booker, who is your franchise player, Kevin Durant, who you're not going to be able to get equal return for. I can't see that being something they want to do. Or Yusef Nurkic, who is their franchise center and doesn't have an incredible amount of value in the league. They have traded 4 first-round picks, 6 second-round picks, and 4 first-round swaps. They are essentially locked into this roster. And that is a situation we've never seen before.
Right.
We've seen historic gamble on these big three combined with these new rules that restrict what you are as a high-spending team. I'll also take you back when the Heat brought their big three together. They were obviously an imperfect team. In year 2, they signed Shane Battier. In year 3, they signed Ray Allen. They were a juggernaut. Those were signings with the mid-level exception. They can't do it. They're not allowed to use it. It's taken away. They do have this year's draft pick.
But that's it.
But they can't. They really probably shouldn't even trade that because they can't get any other players in. This is like their last chance to draft for a couple of years. So they are locked into a team, and I do think it's interesting. Durant last night did talk about continuity.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be that he just is feeling love for Phoenix. Continuity may be their only option, considering what they've got in this team, hoping to bring it back together. But at the end of the day, this team wasn't good enough. The players 4 through 14 were not good enough. They had the lowest scoring bench in the league. That is as big of an issue as the fit or the number of shots that Kevin Durant got.
And now they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. The problem is they have all but exhausted their options.
The drawing board is this big.
Right.
It's a very, very small
that's
board.
That's a doodle board.
And the pen,
that's not a drawing board.
And Sharpie has run out.
Yeah, we'll get, we'll get Mina to work on some of the edge of sketches. Still to come on NBA Today. How does Perk say it, Chennai?
Big Body Brunson.
Big Body Brunson. We're going to show you how he single-handedly is crushing Philadelphia's hopes and bringing Knicks fans on the road with him. And the Clippers, they're going back to Cali. All tied up with the Dallas Mavericks. But what is the key for LA to win this series? And is it dependent on Kawhi Leonard's status? Plus, sticking in Los Angeles, the Lakers, they staved off a sweep, so you can put your brooms away. But have LeBron and Anthony Davis found the recipe to pull off the impossible? We answer that next. NBA Today will be right back. Things are happening every day.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
Found a way to just relax, breathe, not really worry about what's going on the outside. When it's game time, I'm going to break the ceiling till they know the
name. That's what I'm talking about. Big Body Brunson.
Brunson. Oh, my! A new franchise playoff record. 47 points for Jalen Brunson. The Knicks hang on.
I mean, we're not done yet. We got to find a way to win another.
Let me just tell y'all, I spent the weekend watching that game with Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith. It was an experience. I'm going to try it. I'm no Stephen A., but New York, stand up! New York, stand up!
New York!
Jalen Brunson broke the Knicks franchise record for the most points in a playoff series. When you're wearing a hoodie that says New York or nowhere, you know it's going to be a special evening. Jalen Brunson going to work, gets that one to go. I thought this was Wells Fargo Center, but it sounded like this. Knicks fans, they travel Kendrick Perkins, and they went to Philadelphia to cheer
they
on
sure
their Knicks.
Do. Wouldn't you? With a team that played with this much heart, led by this man right here, Big Body Brunson. And did you see him go at Joel Embiid and told him watch out with that elbow? Look at him. Look at him. Talk your talk.
They're having a little conversation back and forth, but Josh Hart, I mean, doing everything, particularly on the offensive board, Shanae, for this team.
Nova Knicks, baby, just at home, even though they ain't home. What I love about this squad is that they play on both ends. Josh Hart may not be the tallest, but he'll get you old boards. And then Jalen Brunson, he fears no one and will flex on everybody.
Takes on Embiid, gets that one to go.
Ooh.
Takes on everybody, really. Embiid talking to his squad saying, all right, come on, let's get this one together here. Going ahead to the fourth quarter, what did I say about taking on Joel Embiid? Jalen Brunson,
ooh,
he fears nobody. Going to work, remaneuvering.
That's just not fair, Malika.
Gets the fadeaway to
that
go.
That was good defense.
Yeah.
Great defense.
Particularly on a guy who played every single minute of the, for a guy who played every single minute of the second half for the first time in his career, playoff or regular season in Joel Embiid.
He's trying, but someone else is trying harder a little bit on offense.
Three-point game, Kyle Lowry kicks it back out to Joel.
Whoa.
Got a hand on that. Precious Achiuwa. Remember, with no Mitchell Robinson, they needed every bit of what he had to offer. And then Josh Hart to Brunson. Brunson ices the game. 47 points, 10 assists. Here's Brunson on his historic night.
I look back when I retire. Seriously, this is, it's great right now. Helped us get a win, but it's not going to do anything for us going forward.
So Brunson's 47 points, they set a Knicks franchise playoff record. Remember passing a pair of 46-point games by Bernard King in 1984. Brunson also became the first player with 40 points and 10 assists in a playoff game in franchise history. So let's welcome in the unofficial, official mayor, governor of New York City, Kendrick Perkins. You had Jalen Brunson third, second on your MVP ballot, right? But if we're just looking at players in the East, where does his value stack up to you?
Oh, he's the most valuable player in the Eastern Conference, Malika. And, man, I just been preaching all season long when it comes down to even being the best point guard in the league. People thought I was crazy. When I said he would have been the best player in the Eastern Conference, people thought I was crazy. He's doing more with less, okay? When it comes down to not playing with another all-star caliber player on the side of him, he's getting the job done in great fashion. And I'm not trying to disrespect the others on the team because God knows I loved OG Anunoby. I love what Josh Hart brings to the table. I love what the kid McBride has been doing. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about putting the team on your shoulder and going into Philly, going against the duo of Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, arguably a top five duo in the league, and you come out victorious and you come out with both of those games on the road, averaging, what, 38 or something around there? That's standing on business. Jalen Brunson is the most valuable player in the Eastern Conference.
Most valuable player in the Eastern Conference. I like it. You mentioned Joel Embiid, so let's talk a little bit more about him and the 76ers. Because Joel has been dealing with a lot, right? Bell's palsy, the knee injury. He's been very clear. None of those things were excuses, right? After all, he had 50 in that game three. But, Chiney, that fourth quarter yesterday from Embiid, it requires a little bit of a closer examination.
Oh, it truly does, because Joel Embiid was coming off of the most dominant performance of the playoffs so far, which caused the Knicks to try putting their most decorated defender onto Joel, OG Anunoby. Mm. He came to the Knicks as the guy that guards the most all-stars in the league, and in game four, it showed, and I'll show you exactly why. So Joel Embiid, I always say the most unguardable play in basketball is when Embiid is up here, but look at this. This was the matchup, Anunoby on Embiid. He's got, what, 50 pounds on him. Typically when Joel is here, he can't get double, but when he's over there, the double is ripe. So all Anunoby has to do is keep his forearm on his back. Again, physicality right here. This is a guy that has inches and weight on him, but watch how everyone else is connected to make sure the double is there. Brunson stunts. Then again, they're trying to fight. Maxey trying to get him the ball. Look how physical. The help defense is ready on the backside, reading his mind. So when the ball is loose, he's still able to show bodies and presence. Again, another double team. When he's up there, it's unguardable. When he's down here, the whole team has his back, particularly Anunoby when it comes to defending. 0-for-6 field goals with Anunoby as the primary defender. That's not easy work. But Look at the numbers here. Joel Embiid scored just 1 point and missed all five of his shots from the field in the fourth quarter after scoring 26 points on 7-for-14 shooting through three quarters. He also only grabbed, where is it right here? Just one board.
Anunoby on him for 21 possessions. And I would thought Nick Nurse, a guy who had
Anunoby. Oh, that is true.
Right, maybe would have seen that coming. Something that I didn't see coming, though, was the number of fans that traveled from New York City to Philadelphia. Joel Embiid, he was none too pleased about the number of Knicks fans that really took over in Philadelphia. I didn't know that they were moving like this, but if you don't know,
now you know.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Lakers, they face a must-win game tonight in Denver. We're going to show you the matchup they exploited in Game 4 that could potentially change the series. And the Stars, they were shining, but who had the best play of the weekend? We're going a little top of the top. Oh, gosh, that was so nice. That pass from Nikola Jokic, what?
The love tap.
Plus, the Clippers, they are 2-0 without Kawhi Leonard. But the big question now, can they keep the momentum going if he's unable to return at all? NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Brian, you know that classic saying, the 12th time is a charm?
Well, I had a nickel for every time I've heard it.
Every time you said that the 12th time is a charm. What was the case for LeBron James and company against the Denver Nuggets, at least on Saturday? The Nuggets had a plus 31 point differential in the third quarter coming into this game. The Lakers led at every single half of this series thus far. LeBron James, not wanting to give up the lead this time around, goes around Jokic, wide open Davis, 25 points, 23 rebounds, Shanae, for AD.
Yeah, they were in attack mode on both ends, but particularly they just refused to be denied. Oh, there's a denial.
Yeah. This is when Bob Meyer said, you know, yeah, I feel like I maybe saw something similar to that in Oakland one time. Flashbacks. Anthony Davis flashing a pass there to LeBron James, who throws it down. Jokic saying, I had it. I really did. I had him. I had him right there having a little conversation, a spirited conversation. And then this what?
Love tap. That's what I'm calling it. He loves to make unconventional plays, and he taps it to his teammate for the finish.
He
Come on now.
He shrugged before he did it as if he was still searching for
it's
the
like
ball.
He's juggling.
It makes no sense. Jamal Murray looking, elevates. We see him hit this shot time and time again. The Lakers are still remembering that game two from a slightly different spot, but it lives rent-free. This is what Jamal Murray does. But watch here. He hangs on to the back of his left leg. He is questionable with that calf heading into tonight's game five. LeBron James with the slam. D'Angelo Russell, remember, after having that zero-point game in game three, shows up big for him here. D'Lo elevates. Yes, sir. Gets that one to go. The Los Angeles Lakers trying to hang on in the final minutes. This is when I think LA fans started to exhale a little bit.
Look, how many times will he give us plays? How old is he? 39? Still able to put the team on his back? Malika never gets old.
The Lakers win 119-108. Here's the thing that is just puzzling to me. LA has spent over 139 minutes leading out of 192 total minutes in this series, which means almost 73% of the total time. And Brian, those kind of numbers are insane. I put them on social media this weekend, and Los Angeles fans were like, please stop re-traumatizing us, which, fair, I hear you. I'm just going with the facts, so please don't get angry at the messenger. What do these numbers tell you, Brian?
Yeah, I know. I think some people are going to look at it and say that's the reason why the Lakers really are closer than 3-1 in this series. But I actually think it says more about the differential from the teams, because it's almost like the big brother letting the little brother get close and then pushing him down. The Nuggets have demonstrated that they feel like they can win routinely against the Lakers without having to play all 48 at full power. And I actually think that's the message the Lakers got to have tonight. Knowing that the Timberwolves have already advanced, they are now waiting for the winner of this series. Knowing that Jamal Murray is already dinged up, and knowing that the Lakers have been ahead of the Nuggets all four games in this series, I would expect Denver to come out of the gates tonight looking to establish control of this game on their home floor. And the test for this game really is, can the Lakers carry over the momentum they had by holding off the Nuggets in L.A. over the weekend and carry it over to the first half and tonight? If they're leading at the first half of tonight's game, that is really having done something, and that'll give them an opportunity after giving them confidence over the weekend.
Obviously, the status of Jamal Murray is something we are all watching very, very closely. But outside of that, Perk, what are you watching in this game five?
Oh, I'm looking at the matchup we've been looking at all series long. And we know that no one in the world could stop Jokic, but no one on the Denver Nuggets could stop Anthony Marshawn Davis Jr. And he's been busting Jokic's ass. I mean, he's right now scoring 75% of the time when Jokic is guarding him. It's times that I was yelling at the TV, Give AD the ball and let him ISO, go to work. And it's times that, you know, you see AD, he's been moving well on the baseline when it comes down to guys driving and dumping it off, being a lob threat at the basket. But when Anthony Davis is aggressive, that's a problem that Denver haven't solved. They even tried to put Aaron Gordon on him at times, and AD shot 4-for-9 from the field on him. So I'm looking at Anthony Davis, and he has to continue to go to work like he's been doing in this series.
You're absolutely right, Perk, because if there's going to be any silver lining for Lakers fans after Malika dropped those numbers on the minutes, I think it's every game this series you're seeing another player come along. This one was Austin Reeves for me, dropping 21, along with D'Lo bouncing back, plus AD being consistent, and then LeBron just being unstoppable on the open floor downhill attacking the rim. So that's the good news for Lakers fans. I think also when we put into context the Denver Nuggets too, this is the thing. They started off the season, and a lot of people were saying, oh, they're losing uncharacteristic road games. Where is that intensity? You're coming off of a championship. Then Jokic hit the group chat after All-Star, and they started turning things up. This was, to me, this potentially could be the moment that Brian described. The group chat is lit. Let's handle this early, and let's not give them an opportunity to feel like they can build momentum off of what we just saw last game.
Particularly because they know their opponent, the Timberwolves, are now resting on the other side, just waiting for this series and the winner to sort of wrap up. But the Lakers, they weren't the only team from Los Angeles that got off the mat this weekend. The Los Angeles Clippers in action against the Dallas Mavericks. We're not going to talk about the first half where the Clippers led by as many as 31 points. We're going to talk about where things got good, all tied up at 98 down the stretch. James Harden, this is vintage, and I mean the good version of vintage.
Can we give this man a little bit of credit? A lot of people say, what will you do in the postseason with Kawhi in and out? He has showed up so far.
But Kyrie Irving, he hit shots in this game that I have never seen anybody else do. He was a wizard. The shot making down the stretch here, Brian, just elite.
Extremely high level basketball, star players doing star player things, throwing haymakers at one another, and a great moment for James Harden. This is why they got him. For moments when Kawhi wasn't 100%. But how do you make that?
This is the shot. Nobody else.
You got to look at it in slow motion.
Yes.
Nobody else.
Like, come on. Levitation, finesse, skill, finish.
Even Mark Cuban can't believe it. How the heck did
gravity
he do that?
Doesn't affect Kyrie the way it affects the rest of us.
Right. Paul George, though, trying again to get a little revenge from that last game.
Great footwork.
33 points for PG. Let's take one more look at that.
Gen Z's favorite player right there for that reason.
Absolutely. And then next possession, right? Clippers up by two. James Harden. Count it. And one. Drives, finishes, and then under a minute left here. Clippers up by three. Harden again. 33 points. The Clippers win 116-111. Even the series at two games apiece.
Crazy floater.
You wanted to give some love to James Harden. I absolutely agree. He scored 33 points on 12 of 17 shooting. And in so, he became the first player with a 30-point playoff game with five different NBA franchises. So, Janae, who should feel better about the series being all tied up about, the Mavs or the Clippers?
The Clippers. They have to. With their main star, Kawhi Leonard, in and out of the lineup. Was it you, Brian, that just said it? James Harden is here for times like this, and I think he's been under the pressure cooker based off of how his career has gone from Houston to Brooklyn to all these places, but now he's arrived. I mean, the moment when he got to LA and said, even though we're in the midst of six games losing straight, we're going to stay in the gym and work, and the work is showing when it matters most.
Yep.
To me, that's great, but also, it's not just James. Paul George, to me, is the ultimate key. He is that ISO scorer that spreads the floor, that can get tough buckets, and I feel like he was due for a game like that. Because he's one of those players that should be able to rival Luka Doncic and Kyrie in series with an explosion of a game that really dictates. So to see James do what he was brought here for and also Paul George reemerge, now the question is when Kawhi comes back, how do they keep that all going at the same time?
I don't know when Kawhi's coming back.
Yeah.
I do know that Wednesday night here in LA is going to be a potential classic. Anytime you got 2-2 game five. One thing I think is really important, Luka was not quite the same after Friday. He banged knees early in that game.
Good point.
He openly came out yesterday and said that knee was affecting him. The Clippers smelled it. They attacked him. He has not quite been the same dominant player the last two games. Okay, now he's got Monday, Tuesday to recover, all day Wednesday. How Luka looks and feels on Wednesday night in a game that's probably going to determine the direction of this series is a huge factor going forward.
Yeah, we know that the winner of a game five when the series is all tied up, huge indication as to who is to go on to win that series. Without Kawhi Leonard's status a little bit sort of up in the air, there's at least six Hall of Famers right in this series. Not sure how many of them take the floor, as Brian mentioned on Wednesday night when the Clippers lace them up in game five. But another Hall of Famer who started her career in Los Angeles announced that she would be hanging them up on Sunday. Candace Parker, who won a championship for each of the three teams she played for during her 16-year WNBA career, announced her retirement on Instagram, saying, quote, "The competitor in me wants one more, but it's time." Parker, remember, was named to seven All-Star rosters, was on 10 All-WNBA teams, and is one of four players in NBA or WNBA history to have won an MVP, a Finals MVP, a Defensive Player of the Year, and a Rookie of the Year. She joins Michael Jordan, Tamika Catchings, and Asia Wilson. Shanae, I know it's impossible in just a couple of minutes to sum up her impact, Candace Parker's impact on the WNBA, but could you please try for us?
Look, I'm going to try my best. All right, so when it comes to me wearing my analyst cap, a lot of people, based off of what we've seen with women's basketball lately, have said that Caitlin Clark, even players that are emerging, are some of the most transcendent. She truly was transcendent when she played. She was the first woman to dunk in the McDonald's All-American game. And she kept that same energy and brought it to the tournament. Watch these highlights right here. We talk about scoring today. Back in the day, she was doing feats athletically that a lot of people, I mean, literally the streets celebrated the way she approached the game, how competitive she was. And then she goes to NCAA tournament and does the same thing. And then on top of it, transitions to the WNBA, becomes a Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same year. Iconic what she did for the game. And taking off my analyst cap, like, this is someone that has been family to me. She's literally a sister to my big sister. They always joke, like, NECA's the little sister, she's the big sister that NECA never had, because NECA's my biggest. They won a championship in LA.
Yep.
She has gone through so many different iterations of her career. She's been loved. I think people have, she's been critiqued, but she has been herself every step of the way.
Yeah.
And the game is not the same, you know, without her, in the sense that what she did just changed how people view women in sport.
Yep.
And she did it unapologetically. So I'm really proud of Candace. Flowers, bouquets, flower shop, you get all of them.
I think about after she won in Chicago, right, when she was asked by a little girl about her impact and what she would say maybe to people who doubted her at some points. And she said that, you know what, only you get to write your story. And Candace wrote a perfectly imperfect, dominant, kick-ass story. And Candace, we thank you so very much for everything that you did and continue to do for the game and for women everywhere. We really, really appreciate you, sis. Next, we're going top of the top from a wild weekend of playoff hoops. I mean, did we just see the best postseason pass of Jokic's career?
I don't think so.
He's had so many, but this one, Chanae, I'm telling you, seeing it in person,
She has no words.
No words. And I always have words.
I thought I looked really good that day. I put on this beautiful suit that said, "I mean business."
Like the one you're wearing?
Yes.
Then what happened?
They say I looked like Gru.
Why does that bother you?
It doesn't.
Then why bring it up?
Because they won't leave me alone.
They?
Guys, I'm not your boss.
Illumination's Despicable Me 4.
To stealing the moon, to the moments that stole the weekend. There's nothing better, right, than playoff basketball, and this weekend was no exception. So let's roll some best of the weekend, some top of the top. We're going to start, Janae, with some top finishes here. What?
It was the scream after. Like, unleashed. Come on now. I love the throw-in dunks, guys. I'm a fan of them.
You're a fan of the throw-in dunk. Some people don't count them. I think they count double. But this...
this one counts.
Oh.
That was a real one.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead and take your big men off the floor with Ann out there. How'd that work out?
And it's like the smug.
Oh, yeah. He let Brad Beal know who got dunked on.
The time and score, too, just absurd. And then...
Okay, come on. This right here. Gravity.
Okay, the left-handed hook was amazing, but I don't know. The challenge on this is crazy.
Thank you.
You have three guys. I don't think that anybody else can finish something like that. Just a crazy circle.
Agreed.
And then you have top assists. This is the Nuggets facing the Lakers. You know which one is coming.
The love tap?
Is that a thing?
It was like a no-look, didn't know where the ball was coming from juggle.
I'm trying to think what sport this is most prevalent in, because it's not basketball.
Water polo, maybe? I mean, he did, you know.
Is it like you, that's a, even illegal, that's illegal in volleyball.
Keep the balloon in the air.
That's what's good, it's like juggling.
He makes it look just so easy.
Oh, the Joker, the juggler?
Yeah, there we go, hey. I like that. CJ McCollum.
Dime.
Full court alley-oop to Trey Murphy III. Hey, Pelicans fans, we have highlights for you.
We do. We love y'all, too.
And LeBron James.
The singular, not plural, Wendy.
Yeah, well, you know, we're trying. LeBron James in year 21. Feels like we need to keep saying that over and over. This is it. He's doing it in year 21. And then we have some top clutch shots. This is game four, the Clippers and Mavericks. The Clippers down one.
The corner.
Paul George.
The corner.
Little step back.
Yeah, this is good defense. Very good defense. What are you supposed to do?
James Harden usually is the one to do this, but Paul George is like, I've been studying, I've been watching, I got this too.
You know how many reps it takes to make a shot like that and not step out of bounds?
But this one, Janae, if you were not up off your couch yelling and screaming.
I was, because I tweeted not once, but twice.
Look at Giannis. He said, yep, that's what we do. That's what we do. And then again, usually at the same time, nah, cash money, middle.
Again, this was good defense. Look. Great closeout.
We appreciate you noting the Pacers' good defense here. But then Tyrese Halliburton. He's
becoming shifty.
Player.
Shifty.
In-season tournament.
The thing is, he has not been looking for his shot this whole series, and then he has the confidence to take that.
Comes up clutch right here over Patrick Beverley.
Such an important win in that series.
Seals the win for Indiana. So teams trailing 3-1 in a best-of-seven series, speaking of the Indiana Pacers, they've come back to win less than 5% of the time, with just 13 series wins to 268 series losses. So Kendrick Perkins, the Bucks are in a world of trouble right now. I don't know how else to say it. They're heading back to Milwaukee for a Game 5, down 3-1, with the statuses of Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo uncertain, but certainly leaning towards not playing. What is your percentage chance here the Bucks come back in this series?
Can I actually go lower than zero, negative one? Is that a percentage?
I was terrible at math, but I think technically no. But sure, we'll do it.
Well, I mean, I do what I want to do at times anyway. So I'm going to say negative one. Look, anyway, I have a better chance of spending the 4th of July with Taylor Swift and Beyonce than they do coming back in this series. They just don't have enough. They don't have enough offensive firepower, especially with Damian Lillard being out. Look, I understand Chris Middleton, he's been balling out of control. But at the end of the day, the Bucks never address the problem at hand, even before Giannis and Chris Dame went out, even before the playoffs started. At the trade deadline, they needed to get better at the wing position. They needed that 3-and-D guy, and they never got it.
If you somehow spend 4th of July with Beyonce and Taylor Swift, can you invite us?
Plus one.
Yeah, that would be great. We appreciate that. Before we bounce, presented by SiriusXM, it is our honor here on NBA Today to announce the finalists for the NBA Social Justice Champion, an award that recognizes a current NBA player pursuing social justice and upholding the league's decades-long values of equality, respect, and inclusion. The award, it's named after the six-time NBA champion, the Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And the finalists for the award this season are Heat forward Bam Adebayo, Pelicans guard CJ McCollum, Timberwolves forward Karl-Anthony Towns, Thunder guard Lindy Waters III, and Clippers guard Russell Westbrook. The winner will be announced in the coming weeks. Congratulations to all of the finalists. The Lakers season, it's on the line tonight. Will the Lakers take the series back to LA, or does it end tonight in Denver? That's next on NBA Today.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
It's time for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. We've got both one seeds in action tonight. The Thunder up 3-0 in New Orleans. Chennai, should we get the brooms out?
No, we should get the song out. Sorry, America.
What a pro wants.
No. What a pro needs. I'm sorry.
I could go never.
That lives rent-free in my head, and also the Thunder live rent-free in the series, so I'm taking the Thunder.
Okay, we're going with the sweep there. The Celtics and the Heat don't have a song, but they do have a game four in Miami. The Celtics have 2 20-point wins in the series and a big dud in the loss. Brian, who you got tonight?
Yeah, the Celtics, I know that Miami's at home, and so you give them a fighting chance, but the Celtics kind of adjusted their game plan to Miami's weakness with ball handling. And it's going to be very hard to combat that, especially if Boston plays with energy, which is a gamble because they don't always play with that energy and focus.
Right.
But I think that they're going to want to get this series taken care of because they already know they've got some teams in the East they're going to have to deal with.
They need to do what a pro needs. Who are you picking, though? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they place their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. We've got one more game tonight, the Lakers and the Nuggets. Anthony Davis, he spoke moments ago on the key for Los Angeles.
What have you learned so far in the series that you can rely on tonight?
Points in the paint. We've been doing a good job of getting to the paint. I think just attacking and us staying confident whether the shots go in or not.
Perk, can LeBron, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers go into Denver and force the series back to Los Angeles?
Hell yeah, they can. And I like the tone in Anthony Davis' voice. I got the Lakers winning game five tonight. They're going back to LA for game six. I think Darvin Ham will make the adjustments far as putting Jamal Murray, if he plays, into the pick and roll, getting that mismatch with far as a smaller guy guarding LeBron James. If Reggie Jackson in the lineup, then that's going to be another mismatch. But again, dominating the paint, putting Jokic in the pick and roll, and Jokic cannot guard Anthony Davis. I got the Lakers winning game five tonight.
But who can guard LeBron James? Because if you look at these numbers, I want to show you actually in elimination games, mm-hmm. LeBron does LeBron things. It's kind of wild. I think AD was right about the points in the paint, but that really plays to the advantage of LeBron because downhill he had 24 paint points, but if he does that, he's going to keep these numbers up. 33.6 points per game when facing elimination, the most in NBA history with a minimum of 10 games played, just ahead right there of Wilt and MJ. If he gets those same looks, you're going to see those types of numbers, the numbers we see right there.
Lakers potentially could get a little healthier here. Jared Vanderbilt is a possibility to play tonight. Christian Wood is a possibility to play tonight. Look for them to try to get some action out of their role players because Denver's role players, especially their limited bench, hasn't played great. They're going to get more of an opportunity tonight. If the Lakers can win the role player matchup, it gives their stars a better chance as well. It always helps to hit some threes on the road. Needs to be a good D'Angelo Russell night tonight if you're going to get back to a game six.
The Lakers have led at halftime in every single
game. Don't do it to them again, Malika.
I'm just saying, at what point, though, watching in game four even, it was like, okay, even this lead isn't quite safe. Even this lead isn't quite safe. What's the point tonight where you say, okay, maybe?
Look, they have to realize no lead is safe, period. Whether it's halftime, third quarter, 60 seconds left, 10 seconds left, if the Lakers play every possession like they did last game and advantage the paint, they'll have a chance. But I still kind of think Denver has woken up.
Denver's 11-1.
And Jamal Murray, too, important.
11-1. Yeah, the status of Jamal Murray could determine everything. That's going to do it for us here on NBA Today. Go enjoy tonight's games, and we will see you tomorrow.
No, Malika.